Thanks for joining us. Tonight, high-profile Republicans breaking ranks, voicing support on the eve of an historic second impeachment vote. This as Vice President Mike Pence says no to invoking the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump after a violent mob of insurrectionists stormed the Capitol.
The call lasted 27 seconds.
Congresswoman Norma Torres worried that this might be the last time she spoke to her son.
All I could say, sweetheart, I'm okay. I'm running for my life. And I hung up.
She was one of the hundreds of members of Congress trapped in the Capitol as a violent mob laid siege. The Democrat from California earlier today urging VP Pence to declare the president unfit and remove him from office.
There are so many people who think, well, just let President Trump walk out the door. Why create more division by calling on Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment or by following through with impeachment?
We are a country of laws and rules, and our Constitution has to be preserved. We cannot let him get away with bringing rioters to the people's house.
Tonight, Vice President Pence said he would not invoke the 25th Amendment, writing, "Now is the time to heal." Democrats are now moving quickly to impeachment proceedings, charging the president with incitement of insurrection.
The House will vote to impeach. The articles of impeachment are immediately sent to the Senate. The Senate's required to hold a trial. They could delay that until after the president leaves office. And then the question becomes, can they vote to convict a president who no longer holds the office?
That effort gaining significant bipartisan momentum tonight after Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming announced that she will vote to impeach. The president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack.
This is a big deal. She not only is saying that she will vote to impeach, but her words couldn't be more damning about the president's actions.
Cheney, a powerful voice in Congress, the third highest ranking Republican in the House and daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. Her announcement, earth-shattering, saying there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution.
I believe that this will be a green light for more Republicans in the House to vote to impeach, but it will also be a big signal to the Senate. And I believe that this action tonight makes it more likely that the Senate will ultimately vote to convict Donald Trump of impeachable offenses by a two-thirds majority.
ABC News has also confirmed tonight that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is furious with President Trump, believing that he committed impeachable offenses and is welcoming the Democrats' House impeachment efforts.
He's open to having a trial in the Senate and that holding the president responsible for that. The question is, does Mitch McConnell bring some undecided or leans against that along in the process and moves forward fast?
A vote on impeaching the president for an historic second time could come as early as tomorrow. Today, in his first public remarks since a mob of his supporters attacked the Capitol, the president was defiant.
The impeachment hoax is a continuation of the greatest and most vicious witch hunt in the history of our country, and is causing tremendous anger and division and pain.
He is hours away from staring down a possible impeachment, the second impeachment, making him the first president in American history to be impeached twice. He says that it's a witch hunt. So we're back to President Trump leveling these threats. Some would say the very threats that got us to an insurrection in the first place.
The president was speaking in Alamo, Texas, ignoring the swirling controversy.
There are two competing versions of reality at play here. President Trump's reality, which is delusional, and the actual reality that's happening on the ground as he is out there touring this border wall, what he views as one of his proudest accomplishments since taking office.
As he left Washington this morning, the president expressed no regret about his speech to the crowd that later attacked the Capitol.
And people thought that what I said was totally appropriate.
What Trump did today, blaming others for what he caused, is a pathological technique used by the worst of dictators.
He made it clear he has absolutely no remorse for his words right before the attack on the Capitol. And the fact that he went out there and said that he did nothing wrong at all was not what Republicans were looking for.
As the country reels from last week's failed insurrection, ABC News learning that the FBI's Norfolk, Virginia office warned of growing calls for violence in an internal bulletin. One online thread stating, "Be ready to fight. Congress needs to hear glass breaking, doors being kicked in, and go there ready for war. We get our president or we die." The FBI saying intelligence was raw and didn't name specific individuals. Officials today saying the rioters were well organized with communications equipment and military expertise.
People are going to be shocked with some of the egregious contact that happened within the Capitol.
The FBI also releasing new images of the person suspected of planting those two pipe bombs, showing a distinctive backpack and shoes, also revealing the bombs were equipped with timers. Law enforcement tracking down hundreds of other rioters. Aaron Mostovsky is among them, seen at the riot holding a Capitol Police officer's shield, son of a New York City judge. He was arrested this morning. Jake Angeli is now in an Arizona jail facing multiple charges. His mother says he initially refused to eat since turning himself in this weekend.
He gets very sick if he doesn't eat organic food, literally will get physically sick.
Federal and state authorities prepare for potentially even more unrest and violence next week. Capitol Police telling House Democrats they're preparing for more than 10,000 armed Trump supporters to descend on the Capitol for the inauguration. Retired Special Agent Eric Jackson ran the FBI's Dallas Bureau.
The lesson learned from Washington, D.C. that I think all law enforcement needs to learn is it's coordination, but also most important, that you have the resources to come and provide aid if necessary.
With Joe Biden's inauguration just 1 week away, law enforcement across the country is racing to contain ongoing threats.
Every American citizen has a responsibility to protect this nation. And that means sometimes bringing friends, family members, and others to the highlight of law enforcement. And it's to not only safeguard them, to help them, but also to prevent something terrible from happening to this nation.
In the waning days of his presidency, Donald Trump's trip to the border was an attempt to highlight his hardline immigration stance.
We've worked long and hard to get this done. They said it couldn't be done, and we got it done.
He used family separation as a deterrent to migration. And he shut down the asylum process, triggering a humanitarian crisis along the southern border.
The president went to Texas today to show off his accomplishments at the border wall. Your reaction?
It is laughable that at this moment of time, when we have so many Americans that have lost their lives, they have lost family members due to this raging pandemic, that the president of the United States chooses to close out his four-year term by continuing to incite racism, promote racism, and incite violence against Americans like myself.
But even his attempts to draw attention away from his pending second impeachment was a reminder of how the president's rhetoric has had real-world consequences. In the summer of 2019, a lone gunman laid siege to an El Paso Walmart, killing 22 people. Before his attack, the gunman posted a manifesto echoing much of President Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric.
Given the climate and the ugliness and the repeated attacks on immigrants that we have seen from this administration and from the president himself, a lot of people weren't surprised when we saw what happened on the Capitol and said, we've heard this drumbeat. This has been a steady drumbeat from President Trump from day one.
For Congresswoman Torres, an immigrant from Guatemala, the inauguration of Joe Biden on January 20th cannot come soon enough.
Your son is a law enforcement officer, and you said that as a law enforcement officer, some of his colleagues were planning to come to the inauguration.
Colleagues and my son and his wife were coming to watch the peaceful transfer of power. They were very excited about being here and being here with me. I know that my constituents and Americans across the U.S. are very excited about seeing this process. But right now, it is not the time for you because it is not safe for you to be here.
And coming up next, how that second impeachment vote might impact the futures of the Democratic and Republican parties.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Is it a moment of moral clarity? Well, to break down all the political turmoil in D.C., earlier this evening I spoke to Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy for America, ABC News contributor Anna Navarro-Cardenas, and former Republican Congresswoman Barbara Comstock. Ladies, thanks for joining us. Barbara, let me start with you. Congresswoman Liz Cheney, that's the headline. She's the third highest-ranking Republican in the House. How big a deal is her support for impeachment, and how much cover can she give other Republicans who are now being told to vote their conscience on impeachment tomorrow?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is the future of the Republican Party and the people who are going to woman up and man up and do what the Constitution requires. And I'm so proud of my friend, Liz Cheney. I think she's really, you know, coming from a very conservative district, she's in leadership. This is very challenging, but her statement was very direct about how this was such a betrayal and a violation of the Constitution. This is going to be a bipartisan impeachment, and tonight you are hearing more people in the Senate who are also willing to take this up.
Anna, take a look at the political lines being redrawn in the Senate. Mitch McConnell is reportedly furious at President Trump and privately said to be pleased that Democrats are moving forward with impeachment. Is this a way for the Republican Party to keep Donald Trump out of the picture in 2024?
Look, I think Mitch McConnell should be furious with himself, frankly. And I think what you're seeing is an existentialist question for the Republican Party. For the last 4 years, many, many Republicans, with some very honorable exceptions, have sold their souls to Donald Trump. They sold their souls for a little tax break here, or a Supreme Court justice there, whatever. Whatever it was that they wanted that he gave them, they put a madman, mentally unstable, with a very dark heart, capable of anything and everything, as we have seen, in power, and they were complicit, and they were silent, and they played dumb, and they looked the other way. The worst of it was that after what happened last Wednesday, 140-plus of them still voted to confirm the lies that they've been selling people since the election. And so what we see right now is the last chance for Republicans who have a conscience to be on the right side of history.
Strong words, Anna. Yvette, let me turn to you. What does accountability look like to you beyond just the White House?
You know, one of the things that I think is so very important for us to remember is Donald Trump is not only a threat right now, but the fact that he might be running again is a threat to our future. We also have to think about the fact that someone in the future who might run for president now knows that they can get away with this and not be removed. And so there's a lot of fear on the part of a lot of us on both sides of the aisle that you have to have precedent for keeping a president like this accountable when he does the unthinkable. We're talking about the Capitol being stormed for the first time in over 200 years. We're talking about an insurrection that was led, encouraged, and facilitated by the president of the United States. We're talking about the fact that Nancy Pelosi has to work around the president for fear of him them using the nuclear codes and potentially declaring war. Mike Pence should be ashamed. He had the power today to say the country matters more than any one person. No one is above the law, not Donald Trump. And I am in this seat right now with the power to be able to save our country and save our democracy. And he did not do that today.
Barbara, let me return back to you. President Trump has wielded that kind of control over the party in part because he's able to fire up his base. Is there still fear there that they could do damage to the Republican Party?
I do think it's dissipating, and I certainly hope it would. I think one woman with courage, Liz Cheney and others, can make a majority. Given Republicans actually did pretty well, we're a 50-50 country now. Now, you know, it was 50-50, but the Senate went to Democrats because Trump lost. And then the House, we did much better than expected, and in state houses. So I can't understand for the life of me why Republicans want to continue to take this anchor that has been just, you know, pulling them down when they have a chance to get rid of it and start anew and really get back to the important issues we have. And I think tonight is the beginning of that.
Anna, I just want to bring you in one more time about the division within the Republican Party, in part because of this fear about losing the base.
Well, there's absolute fear of losing the base. Listen, Barbara and I know people in the Republican Party who were my friends who know better. Lindsey Graham knew better. Ted Cruz knew better. Marco Rubio knew better. They knew who Donald Trump was. But because they were afraid of losing primaries, or because they want to position themselves to run for president in 2024 and be the heir apparent to Donald Trump supporters, they continue playing along with this charade. And it is immoral. It is putting their own personal ambition over country, and people can see right through it.
Yvette, one brief comment from you, if you will, on where you think this goes in terms of the Biden administration if the impeachment and the Senate trial has to go past Inauguration Day.
I think that Biden has to deal with this issue first. You can't, you know, walk past insurrection and start talking about policy. The reality is the nation is afraid. They're concerned. We're divided. He needs to be a strong president when he starts, and he needs to realize that we're at war. So he needs to make sure that he fixes that part before he goes forward and deals with other things. I don't think you can skip past this because you want day one and day two to go according to your original schedule.
Thank you all for your time. It's Ladies Night tonight. Strong words. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
And finally tonight, a note of appreciation. Covering the Cannon Tunnel underneath the U.S. Capitol, a wall of thank you messages saluting the men and women of the Capitol Police Force, defending democracy by risking their lives last week to save others. To those who serve and protect, that's Nightline. You can watch all our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.